Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
What time is it, kids?
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I mean, you got to bring it. I'm here every day bringing it because I carry the show.
There's a force in the universe that makes things happen. And all you have to do is get in touch with it. Stop thinking, let things happen, and be the ball.
Jeff Lutz.
Could it be that difficult of a job? This seems like a job that any old schmuck could do.
It's not realistic. It's crazy.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel the G's.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're here until 7 o'clock this evening. Jeff Lutz joining me, Bob Lutz, in our final week of shows. We're counting them down. How was your weekend? We watched the Royal Rumble together.
We sure did.
We saw Jey Uso and Charlotte Flair win those respective Rumble matches.
Charlotte Flair, does she need to win every match she's in, or what's the deal?
What are you upset with her about now?
Not upset with her, but good grief. She just comes back and wins immediately? Where's the storytelling
well,
in that?
John Cena was almost won. And
right, but he lost.
Hadn't been there in 30 years.
There's no almost in professional wrestling.
So I don't have a problem with it.
I guess.
Who'd you want to win?
Somebody else.
Oh, that's too bad.
Jordan Grace.
Oh, yeah. Somebody just never been in WWE before. Great.
Yeah, you know.
So what's new? Anything? No football to talk about. We'll be talking about it all week. Chiefs ready to go against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Down in New Orleans, I haven't seen a line yet. I think the Chiefs were 2.5.
Sounds about right.
Last I looked. And
I wouldn't be surprised if that line moved a little bit toward Philadelphia over the course of the week.
I choked my guts out on the picks, and I'll be the first to admit it.
As did I, but only in the bonus game.
Yeah, you did well otherwise.
Yes.
Duda got his bonus.
He picked the Lakers?
Yeah.
Even after they traded... I know it wasn't after, but
yeah,
goodness
this
gracious.
Was before.
That trade was unbelievable.
He and Max picked the Lakers. Max said neither had a very good week of picks, but because they got their bonus pick right, they scored some points. So did you. I didn't.
That certainly helps.
I end with 2 points. I'm now 28 behind Jason Duda.
Probably out of it.
Probably. But you know what? The world will never know. We'll make our picks this week. Game will be played Sunday. I'll never say a word about it.
I bet Jason will.
No, he won't.
Sure he will.
To who?
Us.
No, I won't take his call.
He texts usually. I don't know if he's ever called. He might call.
I won't take
I don't know
his
what
text.
Is, I don't know what the situation
I can block
be.
Text.
No, you can't.
Oh, you can block a person.
Show me how to do that.
From texting you?
Yeah, just show me how.
Well, of course you can.
I know, but show me how you do that.
Okay, well, it's not hard.
Have you done it?
Sure I have.
Okay. Usually when you say sure I have, that means no, I haven't.
No, I have.
Okay.
Maybe once or twice. You didn't think you could block text?
We were talking about this at work the other day. Of course I know you can block. I just don't know if you know how.
Why would you think that I'm some dummy?
Because things pass people by. This is what
No, why would you think that?
Because it happens.
That I'm some idiot that can't figure out how to block somebody.
Yeah, I've so moved on from that.
No, I want to know more.
I have no more to give. I've moved on mentally from it. I have nothing left about it.
I'm still smarter than you are.
That's good. We were talking at work.
I want to get more into
I don't care.
This.
I don't care, though, about that.
Well, you're the one who brought it up.
We only have 12 hours. This is oceanfront property, the stuff that we talk about on this show.
We'll talk about it. What do you have?
What I was saying was, we were talking at work the other day about, you know, because some people still, maybe people of advanced age still call us and ask, you know, what time is the game or what channel's the game on, stuff you could look up on the internet. And there are some people, maybe perhaps of advanced age, who haven't quite figured out the internet or haven't attempted. And I was wondering, what will that be for my generation? What will that be for the next generation, where
AI,
where younger people say they don't know how to use this?
AI.
Probably. Something of that degree.
Associated with
but TikTok
that.
And stuff like that's already moving way past me.
Well, you're not meant to understand it.
It's not that I don't
understand
it.
I don't care about TikTok. Couldn't care less.
I watch an occasional TikTok, an occasional Instagram reel or a Facebook reel.
If it's on X or Twitter, I'll watch it. I don't ever go to TikTok except to see your daughter's fashion stuff.
Really? How's that going?
I think she's stopped that, hasn't she?
Probably.
So I did check that out. But other than that, no. Now, aren't you amazed I could figure that out at my advanced age?
A little bit, yeah.
By the way, we're going to get Ted Woodward on the show Friday, and we're going to perform for you.
Oh, God. Starting at 6:05, I hope.
His brother requested it. Did you see that on Facebook?
I did not.
He requested the Merv and Mabel. What's
really
wrong with that?
I don't know. I guess if we're playing the hits of the... Can we put it on 103.7? Because we're playing the oldies.
Why are you so threatened?
Threatened. Why do you always say that? I'd be threatened.
I got a shtick that works with Ted Woodward, and you're just...
I know, but it's never evolved.
Why would it need to?
Why would anyone need to evolve and change and do something different?
I think he called it the greatest hits.
Right. That's what it is. We haven't put out anything new in a while. We're not. Hey,
I don't see Ted nearly as much.
He's over at the studio. Just celebrated 30 years.
I used to see him there quite often, obviously, and I used to see him at every Wichita State home basketball game.
You'd probably still be going if he wasn't the public address announcer.
I might.
But would he still be going?
Good question.
Because he went for the Shocker locker room show.
He has no need to go other than being public address.
Right.
I don't know.
The voice of the Shocker Athletics, at least from a public address standpoint. Mike Kennedy from a radio standpoint, of course.
Right.
Don't want to shortchange anybody on this, our final week.
How do you feel about it all?
I don't know.
I don't either. Like, here's how I feel about it. What I'm saying right now, I know nobody's hearing except you, right?
They're
correct. Not hearing it live. And they'll hear it later, but by then I'll be... Maybe taking a nap. I don't know what I'll be doing.
Could be anything.
And the immediacy has gone away, and it's just not the same.
I just assume I won't know how I feel until Monday, next Monday.
I'm terrible at knowing how I feel.
Really?
Awful. I can't. At one minute I feel something, the next I don't. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like I've solved that problem with myself.
I think I trust my overwhelming feeling that I need a break. At the very least.
Good. You should trust that feeling.
Long, nice break. Maybe in 6 months I'll say, I'm ready to come back.
Let's fire up the band.
No Jeff, right? And I'll say, yeah, no Jeff.
Perfect.
And they'll say, good, we'll have you.
Keep going. This sounds great so far. What else?
Well, what if you're not available?
What if I'm not?
Then what if I decide I want to do radio?
Then you'll forge ahead with somebody else or somebody's else.
Maybe you'll be available. Who knows?
It's hard to know.
There's no way to tell.
Not even a shred.
The new guy from 2 to 5 here may flame out. Who knows?
Well, he'll be on from 5 to 7.
No, I'm talking about the new guy now on.
Jim Rome?
Yeah, maybe he'll flame out.
Yeah, you never know.
Maybe he'll decide, I don't like this.
His show has been corporate for a while. I get it. I understand. But it's overly corporate now. We'll see.
You never know.
I mean, I love his show. Listen to it right now.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You listened to it earlier.
I've listened to Jim Rome for almost 30 years.
So this week, my idea is we're going to get on a lot of guests, and we're going to talk to people who have been on our show frequently over the years. And in that vein, today, Adam Teicher from ESPN.com, he covers the Chiefs. He's in his final. He's down to his final game. This is it for Adam Teicher.
Right.
He's retiring to the mountains of Colorado.
That'll be it for him.
So he's preparing to cover his final game, and he's covered probably more Chiefs games than anyone.
Probably, yeah.
Would be my guess.
Was he somewhere before the Star?
He was at the Kansas City Star, but he was there for a long time. So we look forward to that conversation. At 2:40, Joe Auer, the basketball coach at Heights, will join us. And at 3:20, Steve Martin, the football coach at Wichita Northwest. Not football season.
But he's one of our favorites.
But we like Coach Martin, and we're going to have people on that have been on the show a lot.
And Kyle Lindstedt tomorrow at 2:40.
Yeah, never been on the show, but we'll talk. He's been on the show, but
a couple times.
Is he a friend of the show?
Well, I didn't know our theme was going with a lot of.
Of course, he's a friend of the show. He's
repeat
a good guy.
Yes. Yeah, he's this coach
when
at Sunrise.
You told me last week, I thought you were talking about the guy who's now at Texas Tech.
Right. Luke Barnwell.
Yeah, I got it mixed up. So we got Kyle Lindstedt, who's
right.
Got his Sunrise Academy team in this big Wichita Hoops event coming up this week, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what do you know about it?
Someone asked me if Sunrise played Shawnee Mission Northwest, would it be close?
Well, who knows?
It
might be.
Mm.
Shawnee Mission Northwest is good.
I know. They're very, very good.
We'll ask Joe Auer.
Okay. It was the big fella Anthony, in fact, who asked me. And I said,
on his podcast?
No, he just Facebook messaged me one day. It wasn't.
Why would he think you'd know? That's just, Anthony, if you're listening.
Because I saw Shawnee Mission Northwest.
If you're listening, Anthony, that's not anything Jeff knows.
And I'll probably see Shawnee Mission Northwest again this year. No reason why I won't go down to the state tournaments again.
Yeah, I like going to the state tournaments. I don't think I went last year for some reason. But I like going to the state tournaments.
It's a good time.
And I'll miss talking to these high school coaches. That's something we do that no one else does.
Right. Nobody. Maybe some others occasionally.
I don't listen.
But not very often.
We've made a habit of it. And we'll get some of our favorites on.
Yeah, they're all our favorites.
On this week. Well, no, there's some of them are our real favorites.
We'll get our most frequent favorites.
Why are you scared of things?
No, we love everybody, right?
I do love everybody.
Isn't that the theme of this show?
We've had some, like I'm going to get Eric Adams from Wellington on.
Good.
I identify him with this whole high school movement we have.
He's been certainly at the forefront.
Who else?
Now,
Brandon Clark from Derby's a must.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Troy Black would be good. We've had him. I've always liked talking to him.
Have they ever had Troy Black?
We've had Troy Black several times. I like talking to him. I hope you get him on.
I'll see what I think.
See what you think.
Gosh, now I'm starting to miss these people.
Well.
Who knows what I'll
Shelby
do.
Shelby Wehrman.
You can never know what I'll do. How do you do a podcast?
I don't know.
Do you know how to do it? Like, do I have the right equipment? I bought all the right equipment, didn't I?
I don't know, honestly.
I bought the board and...
Yeah, we got a board. We got microphones. Huh? We go out on the air. I don't know. Do you want to do a podcast?
I don't know what I want to do. I want to get 6 months down the road.
How about on April 1st? You don't decide anything, but you start formulating some kind of idea.
Can I watch the Cardinals play for a month or so first?
Sure.
That'll dictate my mood.
Well, it won't be good.
Jim Edmonds I don't know if you heard about this, but he was interviewed on a St. Louis radio station. He's no longer going to be on the television broadcast. And he's basically just said, I don't want to do anything for the Cardinals anymore. I'm kind of done.
Really?
He's living part-time in Tennessee, bought some farmland. He's an interesting guy. Quirky, unlike anyone. It was an amazing interview. They talked to him for 45 minutes. And it's getting all kinds of reaction.
Because he
from Cardinals fans.
Was he negative about the Cardinals, or did
he
just
really negative? He just said it's not the same. They don't treat their former players the way they used to. He felt like he was kind of shunned. But then he admits, I never watch a game unless I'm on it. He's just a hard guy to figure out. You can sort of see both sides of all of it.
It's strange.
I wouldn't want a guy on my TV broadcast that never watched a game unless he was doing the game.
I agree. In an analyst position where you're a former player and you're paid to give insight on what's going on in the game, but you also got to have the empirical knowledge of watching previous games and knowing what's going on. So yeah, I would agree.
You don't have to watch every inning of every game.
No.
But you gotta if you know you got like he was a secondary guy to Brad Thompson, right?
Sure.
Brad Thompson does 75% of the games. Edmonds does 25. So on those games where he knows he's going to work, he probably ought to pay attention leading up to it.
It would help. Who's going to be the 25% guy
now? I haven't read that. I don't think they know that.
With Chip in the booth.
I don't know. I don't think they know that. I'm getting really antsy about it all, though. Here we are on February 3rd, and not a nary a move, as Andy Griffith would say.
Not a thing going on.
No, nary a thing.
Nary a thing.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, we are back. The Last Waltz, the musical theme of the week for obvious reasons. Achilles' Last Stand from Led Zeppelin gets us kicked off. Here's Adam Teicher from ESPN.com. Has covered the Chiefs for a long time. Hello, Adam.
Hey Bob, how you guys doing today?
We're doing well. How many years have you been in the capacity of covering Kansas City Chiefs football?
Well, Joe Montana was the Chiefs quarterback when I started, so this is my 32nd year, believe it or not. So
amazing.
I don't know if that's a record, but it's
amazing.
Gotta be pretty close. No.
And we know this is your swan song, as well as the Chiefs trying to win Super Bowl number 3 in a row. I'm not sure which is the biggest story, but let's go with the Chiefs. Here they are against Philadelphia, a rematch of 2 years ago. Some of the same personnel, obviously. One big difference is Saquon Barkley, and a lot of people question whether the Chiefs have what it takes to slow him down, let alone keep him under control. Do they?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. There's a lot there for the Chiefs to handle in the Eagles. I mean, you know, between Barkley and a great offensive line and two really good receivers, the Eagles have a lot for the Chiefs to worry about. So you wonder a little bit, you know. You know, I'm sure the Chiefs will have their share of wins out there, but how many wins will the Eagles get? You know, how many snaps will they win, and what kind of big plays will they get out of those? So, yeah, you wonder a little bit. I feel like this is going to be a game the Chiefs are going to need to score some points. I don't know that they can win a low-scoring game here, so we'll see. But I feel like this is one that's going to have to be a little bit like the last one, and then that the Chiefs are going to need to win a high-scoring game against the Eagles.
What do the Chiefs have that the Eagles need to worry about? I hear a lot how, you know, 2-53, the Eagles probably have a superior roster, but then you have the quarterback and the coach. Is that formula enough? Obviously, it's enough to win, but is it enough to put a scare into the Eagles? Is that what they're really focusing on this week?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think the Eagles have seen a quarterback as resourceful as Patrick Mahomes this year, you know, and we know what Andy Reid and his staff is capable of. So, that can keep a team close, maybe even win a team a game. I think this thing will be maybe closer than a lot of people think. I think it'll be a competitive game, no doubt about it.
Adam Teicher with us from ESPN.com. So, Here are the Chiefs, and they're as healthy as they've been all season long. Patrick Mahomes has really started to utilize a lot of different guys in the offense. The one thing I guess I would question is where do they get their yards on the ground? Although Kareem Hunt has been phenomenal, really. Is Pacheco in a spot where you think he could bust loose? I mean, he really hasn't had that game yet.
Yeah, he hasn't since he's been back. I'm wondering whether the Chiefs go with a hot hand here, you know, whether they don't stay more with Kareem Hunt than they did with, Pacheco, just because of what he's been doing for him lately, you know. I think that's one of the keys to the game is whether the Chiefs can take some pressure off Mahomes in the passing game with their running game and maybe keep the Eagles off the field a little bit, give their defense a break. So I feel like this is a game where the Chiefs are going to need to run the ball some. I mean, I think with Andy Reid coaching, they're never going to run the ball a lot, but if they can run the ball some and be effective, I think the Chiefs, that certainly is a big factor and can help them out.
Go ahead.
And Pacheco, I'm just going to throw in, Pacheco was such a big factor in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I think I'd keep an eye on him. I think he's going to do something.
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to ask you about Travis Kelce. I think it was the most recent game where it wasn't as great as the one before. What does he have left when you watch him on a week to week basis? What does he look like to you? He's obviously slowed down from a speed standpoint, but he's got to be a lot smarter. So what do you expect from him in this game?
Yeah, you know, he should benefit from having the week off. You know, a second week really helped him having that extra time between the time the Chiefs clinched the playoff or the number one seed and the had to play in the divisional round against Houston really benefited him. And I think he'll benefit from having a week off again. So, hard to know what the Eagles prioritize, you know, what they'll want to take away. But I think this could be another Travis Kelce game. You know, the Eagles are better on the outsides than the Bills are. Maybe the Chiefs have a little bit of trouble getting the ball to their wide receivers. They're going to need Kelce for a big game again. So we'll see. But, I think he's got one more in him for sure.
Adam Teicher with us. I just went back and looked at the box score from the game 2 years ago. Chiefs won at 38-35. You have so many of the same people for Philadelphia. Smith, Brown, and Goddard combined for 19 catches, 256 yards in that game. And, again, I go back to what they didn't have, and that's Saquon Barkley. This is, on paper, an even much better Philadelphia team, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if those guys go off for 19 for 256, and then you add what Barkley does, the Chiefs have it's going to be almost impossible for them to win a game like that. So they'll have to do better with their pass defense and do a decent job on Barkley. He's going to get his yards, but they can't let him have these 50, 60 yard runs that he's seemingly pulling off once or twice a week every game now.
What are we going to hear from the Chiefs over the course of this week and media days and things like that? I'm sure they'll play it as close to the vest as possible, but now that they're getting probably barraged by national media about the three-peat and things like that, what do you expect them to say? What will we hear from Mahomes and Reed and the rest?
Well, probably what we've been hearing from them all year. You know, they're pretty consistent with their message. You know, hey, the three-peat would be great, but, you know, it's just another championship. And you know, they've sort of downplayed the talk of the three-peat all year. You know, they've acknowledged it, but haven't really said a whole lot about it. And most recently, I asked Mahomes after the Buffalo game, and he said, hey, don't get me wrong, it'd be great, but it's just another championship to us. So I don't think you'll hear anything different or outrageous than you've heard from them recently or probably all year.
I hope they hear more about the three-peat than the favorable whistle that people perceive they've gotten. You've covered football for a long time. You've been around the Chiefs. Is just something that happens when you win, like Kansas City is winning? You're going to have the naysayers come out and try to find a conspiracy?
Yeah, you know, people feel like it's rigged, and the Chiefs get all the breaks, and the league wants Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't see it, but, you know, other people do. Hey, some of these calls have been 50-50, and they seem to go on the Chiefs' way. They've had other calls go against them. So I don't know. I don't see it. And, yeah, I do think it's a product of all that.
Adam Teicher with us. One last thing. I want to get a little bit personal here. You're retiring at the end of the season, which is coming up now on Sunday. You're going to go to Colorado and hang out in the mountains, which I envy. So give us a career highlight, Adam. What is there one thing that stands out to you? Is it this accumulation of success that you've seen the Chiefs pile on here the last several years?
Yeah, well, first of all, Bob, I'm going to be working probably until June or July. We don't have an exact date yet, but I am going to be working through the offseason. So I'll do the draft and some of that stuff. So, but this is my last season and my last game. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not going to do another season. But in terms of highlights or memories, you know, I don't know if there's any one thing that stands out above anything else, but I will say this. I've had a front row to see the Chiefs go from what they were back in for so many years to what they are now. And it's truly been amazing, the transformation of the organization, how they really had no coherent plan to get to a point where they are now. They never were able to build anything sustainable. They had a few good, not great, not teams that were really, looking back on it, serious Super Bowl contenders. So they had some good teams, but never anything they could do back-to-back or put anything sustainable. You know, until Andy Reid got there, the Chiefs had never won back-to-back division championships, for crying out loud. So, and you know, you always had coaches and front office pulling in opposite directions. They wanted different players and different things. And you know, the front office would draft players the coaches didn't want, or the front office would draft players the coaches wanted, but they didn't want. And it was always kind of a mess. And you had players wanting out, great players wanting out. Tony Gonzalez wanting a trade, and Jared Allen wanting a trade. And, you know, you don't see those kinds of things anymore. So now the Chiefs are the franchise everybody wants to be. And it's truly amazing to see how they've gone from one extreme, if you will, to the other. It really has been fun and interesting to watch.
Well, Adam, I've really enjoyed our association talking to you on our radio show for all these years. Thank you, and best of luck covering the Super Bowl and down the road, and we really appreciate all you've done for us.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bob, and I understand you're winding it down as well, and all the best to you and yours, and hope everything works out for the best.
Yeah, I'm going to the mountains of West Wichita, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, I'll see you on the trails then.
All right, thank you, Adam.
You bet.
All right, Adam Teicher, ESPN.com.
Joe Auer joins us on the hotline. Joe, of course, the head boys basketball coach at Wichita Heights High School. I guess we've got a theme going today. Everybody's in their final year of doing something. Adam Teicher, no more Chiefs coverage, and now Joe Auer, who's leaving the Heights program at the end of the season for reasons we don't want to get into. We just want to celebrate the day. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thanks for having me on. And must say I'm not very happy to hear that you guys are leaving the airwaves, at least for a while. And just let me start by saying thank you for everything you have meant to our community. And to me, you're one of the most important historians in this community, and you've got a lot of great history to share, and I know you'll find a way to continue doing that in the years to come. But thank you for everything you've meant to our community, high school athletics in particular, but just Wichita in general. And no proper words to express my gratitude to what you mean to this community, Bob.
Okay, thank you for that, Joe. You're not supposed to make me emotional, but you've succeeded in doing so. So we'll figure it out. I think Jeff and I both need a little break, and we'll see what the future holds. You can never tell. I do want to say that I am proud of my son for his long feature about you, and I think everybody who read it learned a lot about you, and that was very well done, and I thought it was educational.
I've heard from countless folks, really, from all over the country, about Jeff's piece, and obviously it was very powerful for me and my family. And I think it gave some folks some background on a question I've had throughout Kay and I's time here. Why Wichita? And I thought Jeff just did a fantastic job, and so much appreciate him taking the time and energy to tell my story. And I'm receiving a lot of great feedback from folks about what a wonderful job Jeff did. And Jeff, you've got more stories to tell as well. There's a lot of interesting folks out there, and obviously you've got a knack.
I sure hope so.
A gift, and I look forward to the next story that you tell.
Well, now that you've complimented both of us, could you say something about my wife, Joe? Just
well,
kidding.
You know,
Jeff, what's your...
lovely lady.
What do you have?
How does your... we'll just go pretty easy. How is your team looking? I know you bounced back in that Dodge City tournament on a really difficult way to lose the semifinal game. But overall, you're having a great season. The second half of the City League, I think, is getting underway. How are you feeling about your team at this stage?
I feel great. We're leading the state in defensive scoring average. Dropped a really strange game to a really good team in Kansas City Piper, a game we led by 6 with a minute 40 to go with the ball. And some weird things happened. We made some poor decisions. When you're in a tournament, you don't have much time to think about it. The kids were fantastic. In terms of how they use that experience to get better. And couldn't have been happier than with what I saw the next day against a top 5 ranked Junction City team. I think we ended up winning by 17, played one of our better games of the last few years, and really mature group, a lot of fun every day to work with. And I like our chances here in the second half of the season.
Talking high school basketball with Joe Auer from Wichita Heights. So we've got a team that's really made a lot of noise here the first half of the season. It's been a good program for a while, bordered on being better than that. But this year, Derby seems to have broken through into that serious contender category. What do you see from Derby that leads you to think
they could have some staying power and be a real threat here.
Coach Flory has put together a really nice group this year. I've seen him play three times now, and the thing that jumps out at you is their chemistry, their appreciation for each other. Brett's teams always play hard and come with a lot of energy, but this group seems to really care about each other. They're very skilled. They can score the basketball in a lot of different ways, but it's exciting for this part of the state to have a contender, clearly a contender. They have a very difficult game tonight. They go to Junction City for a rematch, a game that was weathered out on a couple of different occasions. So Junction City just knocked off Blue Valley Northwest last week. So this ought to be a great game tonight. But really, Brett's a friend, and I appreciate how hard he works as a teacher coach. He's one of the leaders of our profession in this part of the state. We would really enjoy the opportunity to get to play them. It wouldn't happen until Coke Arena later on down the road, but I think it'd be a heck of a game if the two of us had a chance to compete this year.
I don't mean to necessarily single anyone out on your team because I know everyone plays a vital part, but just watching Chase Robinson last year in the state tournament, he missed like two shots. He's a really good rebounder. He's an athlete. He's got size. I think a lot about how if there was someone covering high school sports, how much of a spotlight a guy like him and Malachi Wilkins would get and several of your players. But Chase really impressed me. What have you seen over his 4 years, the way he's developed?
Well, that's a good recognition by you, Jeff. When he came in, he was he had decent size, but he's the youngest person in his family, and he's pretty shy and reserved. So we made him the point guard of the JV team when he came in, just to put a lot of responsibility on his plate early, make him in charge of scout team offense, and being the JV point guard in our program is a heavy load, and he handled it well as a freshman. And his first two seasons, he's had a great high school career. This year, in my opinion, he's one of the best players in the state. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can play point guard. He can play center. He's about almost 6'5", good sized kid, but really high IQ. And as he matures, it's kind of a coaching cliche term, but as he matures, we're seeing improvement in his motor. And that's really the thing that will take him to great places on the next level. Right now, he's already had a couple of Division II offers that he has decided to hold off on. So he's being recruited pretty heavily at the MIAA level. Every junior college in the state loves him. But he's got a bright future, super young man. As you watch him, and he gets better, it has more to do with just his communication, his energy, his responsibility for all of the moving parts on the floor. We've watched him growing to quite a fine young man who his best basketball is ahead of him, and really look forward to competing with him in February and March here down the stretch.
Final moments here with Joe Auer from Wichita Heights. So, Joe, I may never have the opportunity to interview you again. So I got to ask you, even though we're in the middle of a season, and I know you'll probably say, I don't want to think about this yet. I still want to win with this Heights team. But this is your final year with Heights due to a contractual thing and a deal. I can't even get into it. It takes too long to explain. But you're being kind of forced to retire from USD 259. But the flame's still burning. You know what you're going to do yet?
I don't know. Take a little time. Think about that, pray about that. I've been praying about it a lot. I will do something. You're correct. I feel like I'm actually, as far as this job is concerned, I've never been more engaged, more able to lead a team at practice and games. So I certainly have no feelings of a need to step away because of diminishing abilities, but I think it'll be healthy for me to step away. I've been at Heights since I was 23 years old, and so I think it'll be an opportunity, even though it's not necessarily my choice, but it'll be an opportunity to just kind of take some things in, evaluate, maybe, and learn some new things. I plan on watching some folks in this craft, and I think it'll be an opportunity for me to develop and grow, and I look forward to what's coming up around the corner. I don't know what that is yet, Bob, and you're correct. I'm really focused on the next 6-7 weeks and trying to be as successful as we can. But without question, just like you, there's more to come, and I just don't know exactly what that's going to be yet.
Or maybe the powers that be could realize that they have a flawed policy and maybe tweak it. But that's just me. I used to be a columnist, and trust me, I would be writing a column about all this if I still had that tool. Joe, we really appreciate you and all the times you've come on our show. We admire what you've done with that basketball program at Heights, and we'll stay in touch and talk soon, okay?
Bob and Jeff, appreciate everything, and definitely look forward to staying in touch and communicating and maybe working together in the future. Best of luck to you guys, and once again, thank you for what you mean to our community. And Bob, keep telling stories. Jeff, keep telling stories, please.
Thank you. Joe Auer, Wichita Heights boys basketball coach, and one of our guys. I mean, it's just plain and simple.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
A friend.
What?
A friend.
Well, yeah, a good friend.
Sure.
I'll top you. What? Now what?
Great friend.
One of my best friends.
My best friend in the whole world.
I'd take a bullet for him.
I have.
Really? Show me the wound.
Right, I mean, there.
There's no, you know, we like the guy.
Of course.
But everybody that's going to be on the show this week is somebody we think very highly of.
That's the idea.
So that's kind of where the direction we're headed.
I'm okay with it.
Including, who else do we need to get? Give me some names. Who do you want to get? I've got Brent Chemnitz tomorrow.
Okay, well, that should be fun. Great question. I would have to think about
Weston
that a little
and
bit.
Chris Davis is going to come on Friday.
Yeah, well, everyone will
Joanna,
come on Friday. David Michael Hahn, of course, will be here.
David
Friday.
Michael who? Who else?
I don't know. I was trying to think of all the people who have hosted the show at some point. I don't think we could get them all back.
We gotta get the big fella on for
picks. We gotta get Anthony.
And we'll talk with Anthony when we make picks. All right, that's it. 1 hour in the books. We'll come back with a second hour after the break.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
It's an excursion into the odd and into the very, very different.
Starring Bob Lutz.
Yeah, you heard me. Just make sure that the record button's working, because all of this is going to make me look good.
Jeff Lutz.
That's a very generalized statement. I'm asking you to be more specific. Trust me on that. You're not believing me, and I know this stuff.
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
All right, we're back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio, a Monday edition, a beautiful Monday outdoors here in early February.
Cold front's coming through.
When?
Like soon.
Why'd you have to be a downer?
Well, I just wanted everybody to be prepared.
Well, why'd you have to?
It's still very nice outside right now.
But why do you have to? You know, I'm talking about the beautiful weather, and here you are telling me it's going to not be beautiful.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Only 40 degrees tomorrow, but then back to 52 on Wednesday. 48, 51, 48, 40. It's going to get a little chilly, but that's it's winter time.
Okay.
Enjoy this, man.
Okay.
Don't give me the gloom and doom.
There's no gloom and doom.
When did that trade happen between the Lakers and the I thought I dreamed it.
Late Saturday.
So I wake up, you know, I get up in the middle. You know, we don't need to talk about all that, but.
Well, let's not then.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't either.
I have to get up occasionally. You know what I'm talking about.
Just go, move on. Good grief.
You know what I'm going to miss more than anything?
I don't have time for this right now.
That just kind of tweaking you.
You're not tweaking me. You're getting
so
on my nerves.
Good at it. It's unbelievable. But anyway, you know.
Your point.
And I looked at my phone, and there's this Shams, what's his name?
Charney, I believe.
Yeah.
Shams.
I see something from him, and it's like, what? This has to be one of those fake things, right?
Everybody thought that.
Anthony Davis. Come on. Don't give me that. That didn't really happen. And I kind of figured it out that it really did.
It really did. It really happened.
What time they make that trade? About 2 a.m.?
Yeah, it was pretty late. It was before or, you know, after I went to sleep.
That's crazy.
I think. It was. It's really strange.
And I played Wordle and went back to sleep.
You get the Wordle?
I'm so good at Wordle.
I got it in 2 yesterday, 3 today.
What's your percentage?
900.
No, really?
It's close to 90. Yours is better. I get it.
Mine's 98.
Congratulations.
Does that bother you at all?
What's your streak?
46, I believe.
No, it's not. You just missed like a week ago.
Why do you get angry? You asked me a question.
Well, I just want a real answer is all.
And I give you an answer.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
What's that say? What's that say?
Streak of 40. But you just talked a couple weeks ago about how you missed one. That was 9 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago.
You can't even do
whatever
math.
Whatever the math is.
46. My all-time best streak is 78.
I have a streak of like 3 right now. I missed one the other day. It was hard. Utter. I missed utter.
I got utter.
Didn't get utter.
Well, you're not very good at Wordle.
I got it in 2 yesterday.
Yeah, but you miss more.
And 3 today.
Look at this. How many have you gotten in 2 guesses?
Well, I've played 223, and I've gotten 2 guesses in 9.
Well, that's not bad. 3 or fewer. 4 or fewer, I'm happy with. If it takes me 5 or 6, I'm not happy.
Yeah, I'm not. But 4 is even. I don't feel great about it. 4, I'll feel okay. 3, I've gotten 38 out of 223. That's pretty good. I'm on a streak of 5. My max is 30.
I feel good about it.
I'm not great at Wordle, but I'm getting better.
Well, I'm a lot better.
Look at that job I did today.
Well, that's an easy one.
Heck of an effort.
Took me 4 today.
Took a lot of people 4.
Anyway, what a trade. LeBron's got to get out of L.A. right now, doesn't he?
Why?
They're not going to win anything. They don't have anybody in it with any size.
Oh, they're going to trade for Miles Turner. I hope not, because they don't have anything we want. But they're going to get a big
Would
guy.
Would you take Austin Reeves for Miles Turner?
No, we don't need Austin Reeves. They don't have anything that we need. We need another center, so they don't have one.
Well, I don't know why you'd trade Austin or Miles Turner.
Because his contract's up, and we don't know what's going to happen. But we enjoy Miles. I don't know. I don't think the chances of winning necessarily went up or down for the Lakers this year.
Now, I promise you what I'm going to talk to you about right now is going to irritate you.
We're done with that?
Yeah. We can get back to it. But you know you hate this when I say this. What am I going to say?
You got a 90-inch TV?
What did I do last night?
Oh, you watched the Grammys.
See, you hate that.
It's just
Why
annoying.
Do you hate it?
Because you think it's something that it's not.
How many 70-year-old men are trying to keep up to date as much as possible?
But you're not, though. That's the problem. You're not going to listen to any of that music going forward. It's
No, but I want to know what's today's music look like. Who's doing it? I learned a lot last night.
I guess, but I don't see that as a music event.
Those two artists, people who performed, I mean, the talent's incredible.
Well, I understand, but none of them are new artists.
What do you mean they're not? They were up for new artists.
Yeah, they've all been out. Like Hootie and the Blowfish won Best New Artist on their fourth album or something.
Like, well, did you hear the one woman sing?
Chapel Roan?
She's good. But no, the one name...
Sia? I don't know. Who she's been around for a long time.
Sia's 71, for God's sake.
I forgot we were talking about new artists. I don't know who you're speaking of. I know that Kanye West's wife had an interesting thing going on. I know...
Well, they got kicked out before they even got in.
They did? I know Will Smith's son had a castle on his head. I mean, this isn't...
I can't stand Will Smith.
This is, what did Will Smith do?
What do you mean, what did he do? Like,
you know, you're still not over
I don't like him. Ray. R-A-Y-E. And you know, when these people perform, I try to find out information about them.
Excellent.
I didn't know Chapel Roan was from a town of 6,000 over in southwest Missouri. That's amazing to me.
She's very talented.
You know the town?
Yeah.
What?
Willard,
Missouri.
Springton.
You don't have a clue. And Ray just was amazing.
Ottawa.
She's from
Ontario.
England. And I like Shaboozy.
No, you don't.
I do.
No,
I do like her.
You don't.
I do.
You wouldn't if you. All of his songs sound. I was on that for a second, too, after he was on SNL. Oh, this guy sounds pretty good. Nah.
I like him.
No, he should pass on him.
I like Teddy Swims.
Okay. Teddy Swims is becoming too commercial. His early stuff was better. Next.
You don't have a clue.
Yes, I do.
You don't listen to music. You don't listen to these people.
I've heard all of them. And I do listen to a lot of music.
I go by, can they sing or not? And do I like their song?
Okay.
And I like his song.
What's the song he has out now?
I remember, but he's good.
Well, go back 5-6 years, listen to his album. They're even better.
Well, you hadn't been around that long.
Yes, he has.
Did you know that Sabrina Carpenter's aunt is the voice of Bart Simpson?
Nancy Cartwright?
Right.
Yes, of course.
You didn't know that?
Of course I knew that.
Because I tell you things.
Of course I knew that.
Because I learned about things.
Okay.
I have a thirst for it.
Good.
You don't. You just sit on your, you know.
Well, I don't necessarily care to learn about a 21-year-old pop star. I
wanted to know where she's from.
Really in my wheelhouse. I watched Sabrina Carpenter on Girl Meets World when I watched it with the youngster.
Fine. I wanted to know a little bit more about her. I always am prone for that. I like that.
Fine. Have at it. Enjoy it.
That's why we enjoy the Grammys. My wife loves the Grammys.
She does, okay.
Yes. Ask her.
I will.
Ask her.
I will. In a private moment.
Good. Now, you can ask her all you want.
I will.
One of our first dates, actually our second date, was right here to watch the Grammys back in 2009.
Amazing.
We watched them for a while and then
fell asleep. I get it.
You're going to miss me, man. What are you going to do? How are you going to get this anywhere else?
I don't know.
This berating and...
Yeah, I can't live without it.
Well, you know you love it.
I do.
You've been here 9 years.
Yeah, it's fine.
Nobody's told you have to stay.
Nobody's told me I had to leave either. That's disconcerting.
Have people often told you you need to leave?
Never. Not once. You? Several times.
I've never even had a serious reprimand that I'm aware of.
That's good.
Let me think about that for a minute. No?
Nothing on your file?
I've never really thought about, oh, man, could I lose my job over these many years? What?
That's just, I don't know. I have once, and I did.
Well, sure you did. You were malpractice, malfeasance.
Yeah, I like being malfeasant. Is that a word?
Why did you lose that job?
You remember.
I don't really remember.
You don't?
No.
Aaron?
Huh?
Aaron?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, she
best,
was...
Best thing she's ever done.
She was watching out for you.
She was, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So good.
Good for you. Things
eventually
work out.
Yeah.
That's one thing we've noticed over the many years that we've been doing this show.
I like it.
What else? KU absolutely blew it. They were up 19 at halftime against Baylor.
Right.
And that lead was gone before you could, almost before you could get your TV back.
And then they built a double-digit lead back up, and you thought, okay, well, Baylor's probably out of gas. They spent a lot of energy. Well, not a ton, but...
There is no question that Bill Self is catching the most heat he's ever caught.
No question.
As KU's basketball coach. Ever. I mean, there's people using the four-letter word that starts with F about him.
Really? Man,
you haven't seen that?
Short memories these people have.
You haven't seen that?
No, I don't.
There's a few. I mean, it's not like pervasive, but there's been. We got to get rid of him. He's too loyal to the. God. The problem with KU is the problem is what is the problem with so many teams? They dip into this transfer portal. They bring in all these players who were good in other programs, and then they can't figure out how to make it work. All the way in a year.
Are we going to have our friend CJ Moore on the show this week? Because I'm interested in his thoughts about that, because Auburn did it, and they're the best team in the country. What makes it work? Is it just luck?
You got to have the right guys.
But how do you know when you have the right guys?
I don't know. It's recruitment. It's judging not only character, but can players mesh? Is A.J. Storr a guy that at Wisconsin was the go-to guy? Can he come to Kansas and be one of the guys?
Well, usually I would imagine Bill Self, the game has changed a lot, but I imagine he looks at his most successful teams, even the national championship team of a few years ago, and says, who can I get in the transfer portal that can replicate what this guy did or be close to?
Well, I don't know how he looks at it.
I would have to imagine.
Well, I don't know. I don't imagine.
I don't think he's just picking and choosing out there. I assume there's some
level
of...
Well, you got a bunch of guys who were really good players in their programs. And
right.
Then you're going to bring them all to the same place and say, you're not going to get the minutes here. Your stats aren't going to look the same. But I want you to buy in on our opportunity to win a national title. And unfortunately, there are kids out there who may say, yeah, I'm all for it. And then they get into the meat of it. Wait a minute, I'm playing 17 minutes? Whoa. This isn't what I signed up for.
It was, though.
And
if that's,
they may have said it at the time.
Right. If you're going to be a team guy and you're going to sacrifice and we need you to win a national championship to fill a role, and I might be playing 15 minutes, I might be playing 35, then yeah, that very much is what they signed up for. They just maybe should have thought about it a little more before they signed up for it.
So the other day, Griffin gets 22 minutes. Storr gets 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
Not a lot.
That's not very many, right?
Not at all.
Coit, who we thought was going to be kind of their assassin, their shooter.
We did?
Yeah.
Out of Northern Illinois?
That's what he was. That's what he was brought here to do. He's not had a good year. He played. He played 20 minutes. Rylan Griffin, who had a really good game previously, did okay, played 22 minutes. Shaquille Moore got the start, played 10 minutes. They used Dickinson, Harris, Mayo, and Adams. Those were the guys who got the 30 minutes.
Those are their guys. And some people are unhappy that those are their guys.
A lot of people are unhappy.
Yeah, and as they should be. Not to the level of we're going to cuss and do ridiculous things on social media, but, you know, you can voice your displeasure because KU has a standard that they haven't necessarily lived up to over the past year and a half, or at least the last year or so.
We like KJ Adams, but you better, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. Meanwhile, K-State goes up to Ames and just throttles.
Tried to tell you guys.
You didn't. Let's see who you picked there.
K-State. For eight, I think, didn't I?
Six. Duda picked him for eight. He did miss that one.
Yeah, he picked Iowa State for eight. Because right. He fell into the trap that I set for him, and I do appreciate that.
Well, I thought, no way you thought that game would be what it was.
Oh, of course I did.
No, you didn't. You never once said that.
K-State's going to go up there and win. I believe were my exact words.
You never once said
Watch
that.
For it, maybe even be by about 20.
No, you didn't say it. You're not that astute. You don't have that.
Yeah, because a lot of people said K-State's going to win by 20 or 19 or whatever.
No, but you didn't even say they were going to win. You didn't. Say
I didn't need to say they were going to win.
Threat to win. You didn't say that they
I
were
picked
gonna,
them.
They were going to go up there and play well. Yeah, with 13.5 points.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
You picked them, what?
They were never going to lose that game by 14, 15. I mean, it's never going to happen.
And then Texas Tech goes into Houston and wins. And what we thought we knew about the Big 12 has kind of put on its ear, at least momentarily.
Two teams that never lose at home, losing at home.
And this is what happens in February basketball across the country. Only Auburn seems to be immune to it.
Yeah, they're just incredible. Who'd they lose to? Was it Duke earlier in the year?
I'd have to look. Right now, tell me the two teams tied at the top of the Big 12.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Well, take a guess.
Texas Tech and Baylor.
what an absolute joke. I mean, that's just awful.
You know, I don't know.
Texas Tech is 8-2. They're in third. But the two teams tied at the top are Houston. You never guess the other one.
Northwestern.
Arizona.
No, well, why wouldn't I guess them?
Because nobody's really talked about them.
They were under the radar.
They played pretty poorly at the start of the year. Remember, they lost 4 out of 5 games in a stretch there in November. And nobody talked about them. But here they are. They've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of their last 12. Only a loss at Texas Tech. So here they come.
Arizona's very good. We knew that. And finally they're starting to show it. That guy, their coach, you know the guy who came from Gonzaga as an assistant.
Right.
That
right.
guy, pretty good coach.
You don't know him. Name his name.
Mark. Few. Mark Moore. Jeff Moore.
You don't. Here's what. There's no one who knows less about
Judd Hirsch. No, that's there.
No one. All right.
What
we'll
is his name?
When we come back, we'll visit with our friend Steve Martin and Martin Short. No, not really.
You wish.
Steve Martin, the football coach at Wichita Northwest. Well, we need to play that Steve Martin, Martin Short interview sometime, don't we? I had a very good friend of mine who used the following words to talk about that interview. I hate to say this, but you really held your own.
Oh, my God.
Did
you dream that, too?
No. I'll tell you who it was.
Please don't.
Not now. Off the air. We'll be back.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
believe this is Pink. All right, we're back.
Hold on a second, man.
Here is here's Steve Martin, the football coach at Northwest. Jeff playing some introductory music for him.
That's my man Jay Uso.
I'm eating in the background.
Turn it off.
All right, turn it off now, please.
Oh, God, Bob, you're not any fun, man. That was a great intro.
So we know you watched the Royal Rumble on Saturday evening, as we did, with a gathering here at our house. How'd you get into professional wrestling?
Well, I as a kid, that was my way of getting to stay up on Saturday night main events, watching it with my dad. So, you know, there's a little sentimental value there, and it's one thing that with my boys, and, you know, I even tried to get my girls into it and had some success until recently as they grew up and realized that this is a male soap opera and my girls quit watching it. But, you know, my youngest boy still watches it with me. So it's just, you know, growing up, that was a special deal when Dad would let me stay up late on Saturday night, so I got to watch Saturday night main event.
I love it. After, you know, about 35 years of watching this, I don't have many visceral reactions. It's pretty predictable most of the time, which is good and bad, usually good. But when Jey Uso won the Rumble, I said yes, and I was very happy. Yeah. How'd you feel about it?
No, it was good. That was my Facebook post. I said yeet about five times, and if you know, you know, because I know probably 99% of my Facebook followers probably have no idea what that means. So, so no, it's happy, man. You know, it's just kind of like in life. You see a good guy that's worked hard throughout the business and whatever corporate world, he finally got his shot, and it's good to see them rewarding someone that's really worked hard, and, you know, the fans and the people love him. So it was awesome.
Steve Martin, our guest, the football coach at Northwest High School. It's not football season, but we always have enjoyed talking with Coach Martin, and happy to have him on today. So I don't want to get you in any trouble because you are an employee of 259, but we had Joe Auer on previously, and he's kind of being forced to leave because of the policies that are in 259 after 30 years. Kind of say to you, if you want to make the kind of money you should want to make, you need to retire from 259 and maybe go somewhere else and get paid extra. I guess I see the value in that in some cases, but here you've got a guy like Joe Auer who is making a huge difference at a school with a lot of kids who need a male role model to make a huge difference. It just it's bugged me since I heard about it. Should it?
Well, I think so, because Bob, you care about the community, you know, and you know that's what you guys do with League 42 and all that stuff. You know, you guys are about giving back, and you know, I got to know Joe on a personal level and have a great friendship with Joe. You know, big games, it never surprised me when Joe sends me a good luck text. You know, because of the relationships I have with Joe when I was able to work at Heights and stuff like that. So, you know, for Joe, you know, just a remarkable man that, you know, is about helping kids and using the sport of basketball and previously baseball, you know, to teach life lessons. And, you know, what he got about that was he's won a lot of basketball and baseball games through those sports because of his love for the game and showing kids the right way to do things. And, you know, if you go look at a lot of Coach Auer's kids, they're successful in life, you know, and, you know, that's something that, you know, I was very fortunate at the time when I was at Heights. I was 27 years old when I started there, that I got to see some things, you know, that coach did to help kids and guide kids in the right way. And so, you know, I don't think I can get in trouble by 259 is that we need all the role models our kids can have right now. And, you know, I don't want to use the word pushed out because, you know, kind of that's kind of the lay of the land with how our retirement system and stuff works. But is it right or wrong? I don't know. I just know that it's going to be very, very hard for this community to replace a guy like Coach Auer. He is a great man. He's a ethical man that, you know, does a lot of great things for kids, and he's very intense, and, you know, he's just a good role model for kids. And anytime you got a guy that is going to retire and not work with our youth in our community, it's definitely a blow, and it will be felt over on the north side of town.
How do you feel like, as a high school coach, that high school coaches are perceived? If you play high school sports at a pretty high level, there's a chance that you're playing on a summer baseball team or youth football growing up outside of the Wichita, Greater Wichita Athletic League, or you're doing private lessons. There's so many coaches, and they're all very valuable. Where do high school coaches stand? Do you think they get the credit that they deserve?
Probably not. You know, I think it's probably the easiest level to really criticize, you know, and not see really some of the people's passion of why, number one, they are around the game and why they continue to do it, maybe even without having the success on the scoreboard. But, you know, those are the things, like, I know I appreciate at Northwest when I hear from former students, or, you know, I'll be out in the community and someone will say, Coach Martin, how are you? You know, and then I got to go through a Rolodex of about 1,000 names that I've been able to coach. And, you know, it's hard. That's a hard answer, Bob, because I think what I do for my kids, I think I'm appreciative. I think people appreciate what I try to do for their kids. But, you know, it's a thankless job. And you know that when you get in it. You know, none of us take a high school job because we want to see our name in the paper and get heralded. You know, if you're getting in to coach high school football to pat yourself on the back, man, you have chosen the wrong career path, because it's, especially here in Wichita, it's got to be greater than that. It's got to be helping these kids and molding them and guiding them to have a successful life and hopefully come back one day and bring back to the community. So, I mean, that's really what, you know, we're really focused on, you know, and it just, I think when you really focus on that and the relationships, I think the scoreboard takes care of itself. And that's what I think Coach Auer's done.
Good stuff. Well, Wichita Northwest football coach Steve Martin is our guest. So you've been around youth sports, as I have now, for a while. I'm hearing more and more rumblings of, man, our officiating situation, if it's not in crisis mode, it's close. It doesn't seem like as many people want to officiate, and for reasons I think we can guess, what can be done about behavior? What can be done about this very slippery slope that really threatens youth sports in a lot of ways?
Yeah, I don't have the right answer for that. You know, it's, you know, putting myself into their shoes, it's a tough job. It's a objective job, you know, to where it is, that is truly a thankless job, because very rarely do they get thanked for what they do. But, you know, I think there's a little bit give and take with that, you know, on our end, especially in high school, because, you know, we have a lot invested in our kids and our program and our sport, you know, and so you feel like you have personal objectives in front of your brain, whereas, meaning, you know, where you're really considered, like, you feel like you might be getting the raw end of the deal, or they don't see it that way. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think when you can take a deep breath and step back from the issue, it's like, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes, and people need to be able to accept that, because it's human nature. It's, you know, I've never felt like we were singled out and we got maybe a couple of questionable calls because this is where we're at. You know, we know there's a shortage. I mean, we've heard at Northwest, we've talked to very good officiating crews, you know, and they're not really too dishonest about talking about, they don't like to do certain leagues or certain games because of how they're treated. And so when you hear that from a person, you know, you kind of step back and go, man, that's not good for us, you know? And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think people got to realize that we're all human. It's, you know I make mistakes every day of my life, and I continue will till the day I die. And I think when you can sit back and realize that, you know, I think it'll be better. But it's hard, though. You know, it's hard as a parent if or a coach at that level to see if things are going maybe not your kid's way and some things aren't getting being done. I get the human emotion to it, and I think that's why sports are so powerful in our economic statuses of where we're at and how people view, you know, sporting activities and sporting events. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a tough job. I know I would not want to be official. And, you know, this year specifically, you know, I always tried to tell those guys thank you. And, you know, we've had to make conscious efforts not to question things so much. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know the amount of hours that goes into preparation from an athlete standpoint, and you just want your kids to have a fair shot. And so if you feel a different way, I can understand why people get upset, you know. And it's just, I don't know, Bob, I don't have the best answer for it. I really don't. I don't know how to solve it.
Well, yeah, I think you're one of the kindest people to officials, Coach, so we don't worry about you.
There's times where I should shut up and quit being an idiot. I know that. But, you know, but the level,
I was,
you know,
more talking about the yeah, I was more talking, you know, about the parental effect here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, our kids this morning, they were working out at 6 a.m. You just, you know, there's a lot of investment in our program. And when you feel like maybe you're getting slighted, I understand why people react the way they do at times. But it's not fair. But I understand the human element out of it. It's like, I just don't know if it'll ever be cured. I remember sitting in the stands when I was a little kid at Andale, whether it was a football game or a basketball game. And I remember people yelling at officials. I don't know if I've ever been to any sport event where I haven't heard anybody criticize or have something to say about an official. And so I know they're just, thank God they can have, a lot of them can have thick skin. And, you know, a lot of them are getting older. And I just don't see a lot of youth wanting to be criticized, you know, for a, I mean, basically, I think those guys basically officiate for free. You know, I know there's not a lot of money in the game, so I think.
All right. Well, I've always appreciated your candor and for your willingness to come on and talk Northwest football and wrestling and whatever silly topic we bring up. Thank you, and we'll be watching your team perform next fall.
Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Steve Martin, the football coach at Wichita Northwest. All right, what do we got? Anything? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind?
What do you mean, what's on my mind?
What's going on in your world?
You know exactly what's going on in my world.
Tell me all about it.
I'd rather not.
Read all about it.
Someday, maybe.
Say on the street corner.
I'll let very select people,
as they hawk newspapers.
Yeah.
Extra, extra.
Read all about it.
Read all about it.
But,
you know, I've hawked newspapers.
Nobody said that, though.
We used to, we did special sections. I can't even remember all the details, but they'd send out a contingent of people to sell newspapers at intersections.
Right.
I did that a few times.
Okay.
Well, isn't that interesting?
I was going for a joke, but I couldn't.
Well, no, go for
immediately
it.
Think of
Let's
one.
Hear it. Let's hear
I don't
it.
Have one.
Why didn't somebody hit you? Is that what?
I wasn't going to go that dark.
Really?
Yeah, maybe like a water gun squirt or something.
That's what you thought?
No, of course not. Said I wasn't going to go that dark.
That was back in the day.
And that wouldn't be funny either.
You know, you get to the end of things and you start to think about things.
The end of what?
Well, my journalism career. Does this count as journalism?
No. I said from
Did
the beginning.
Did you speak to Joanna Chadwick's class?
What do you mean?
I thought I saw something that made me think you did.
No, I did not.
Have you been invited to?
Of course not.
I was invited to, and I said, I don't think, I think the time has come for me to not do that anymore.
Really? Interesting. Well, so I have to find some other old guy to teach kids about new media.
Well, I was good at it. I am good at that. Maybe I'll change my mind on that now that I don't have radio.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. That's
I can go down there and talk to the kids.
Sure.
The reason I like it is because I'm old school journalism.
As am I, for the most part.
And I don't know that they... Well, Joanna is, too, to a degree. Probably close to as much as I am, but I'm really old school. Like, in all facets.
I understand.
Ask me a question about old school. I'll give you an
answer.
What
was it like when they invented the printing press?
No, be serious for a minute. Try to...
I don't want to be serious. Why don't you just tell me something?
No, I want
you
to...
Why does I have to ask you a question?
I want you to engage.
I did. I'm listening.
Ask me a question.
You tell me something.
I was always completely down the middle.
When's the first time you were able to have wire access?
Well, from the very first time I worked there.
Where did you get it from?
I had an AP wire, and it churned out all this.
Was it fat printing printer?
Yes. Don't you remember?
No. My wire was electronic.
Well, ours became that, but we had two machines, one AP and one UPI, back when I started. United Press International.
I understand.
Was still a thing. And, boy, it was fascinating just to go over there and... You couldn't help but stop and read. Unbelievable. There was so much that was cool.
That's wasting a lot of paper, though.
Early years at the Eagle, that I just I can't tell you how lucky I was. I liked that. I liked having that machine going day and night. And then we had a copy desk that did all the editing and headline writing and page layout. And we had this machine, this thing. We'd put something in and it would go up. What do you call those things? It would take it down to the composing room.
Okay.
Where they would take it out of the little folder we'd put it in.
Like an assembly line type thing.
Yeah, but it had a name.
I know.
And we put all the stuff in there. You write a headline, you send it down, you tell them what font and type you want, and they take care of all that. I can't believe we did all that.
It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. That's an unbelievable operation where everybody has to be very precise and it's a lot of communication. And
well, you got your newsroom. First of all, it just takes incredible organization.
Right.
And just fun. It was always amazing to me that you get up in the morning, you got a paper on your doorstep. All across America. Everybody's doing that.
Happened everywhere.
Incredible.
Not so much anymore.
No, it's not happening anymore.
Yeah, my favorite was going down and getting the Sunday paper.
Where'd you go get it?
On the driveway.
I let you go get it?
Yeah, you let me. You made me.
I did?
9 degrees outside. Go get the paper.
That's good parenting.
Of course
it is. I know you don't think it is now.
Why?
But that's getting you trained.
To do what?
I don't know. I didn't know. Maybe you were going to... I don't know what you were going to do. Maybe you were going to become a...
Well, I always took the sections I wanted first.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, that's because I read all the sections.
Well, I read most of the sections, but not the sections I wanted first. I read them first.
We had, obviously, an A section, the front page. Then we had the local state section. Then we had the sports section. Then we had the business section. Then we had the lifestyle
living
section.
Yeah.
And you had all this in one paper.
The living section on Sunday was just fantastic. Then you had the little parade magazine thrown in there. It's just beautiful. What a day.
And then you have all this in one delivery.
Yeah. Wrapped up nicely in a plastic bag.
Now the Sunday paper, I hear it costs $9.
No, it doesn't.
That's what I hear.
There's no way.
You go into Quick Trip, you're there maybe $9.99.
What? That's bizarre.
Doesn't make any sense.
Why would anyone?
I just said it doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense. And if that's right, that's crazy. On a lot of different levels.
Just confirmation, Jesse Newell will join us tomorrow, but seems a little perturbed that we reached out on Super Bowl week. I said, anytime for tomorrow at 2:40. He said, yes, but it's the last time ever.
What? Get it?
He knows where our show's over. Come on.
We already have a guest at 2:40.
5:40.
Yeah, we already have a guest then.
Who?
Kyle Lindstedt.
Let's get him at 3. I mean at 5. At 6. See why this doesn't work?
We have
I have to be disciplined.
Yeah, you're not very good at it.
Get Kyle at 6 tomorrow.
I'll try.
And we've just confirmed Brandon Clark for 6:20 tomorrow. So we've got Brent Chemnitz, Jesse Newell, Kyle Lindstedt, and Brandon Clark on tomorrow's show.
Loaded. Just absolutely loaded show.
That's a who's who.
It really is. I can't wait to talk to those folks.
Brandon, apparently not aware that it is our last week, says, yeah, I'll come on, but what are we going to talk about? What should I say to the young man?
It's our last week of shows, and we want to have you on one last time.
Well, that's what I'll...
We can talk about anything.
That's what I'll text him back with.
I would assume so.
So there you go. Then Wednesday, Thursday, and then the four-hour extravaganza.
Grand finale.
On Friday from 2 to 6, live. Not that we're not live now.
Oh, we're as live can be.
All right, Max Power back in the studio. Thank you, as always. We'll be back here tomorrow with a big show. We hope you'll join us. Take care.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mysteries seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.